I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 may be a familiar passage to you in parts of it. And this morning, as we look at it, it seems to me to be very appropriate for today. Isaiah is a major prophet. This is toward the conclusion of the book of 1 Isaiah. There's actually two sections of Isaiah, and this is the end, or near the end, of the first part. And in this chapter, we find the gospel, the strength, the comfort, and the promise. And isn't it interesting that we spent a lot of time in the Gospel of John looking at the promises of God? And here is yet another one. But this promise is timely. This promise is for today, here and now. Hear then the words from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And let us go down to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are our stronghold. You are our strength. You are our comfort in times of storm. You are our peace. You are our deliverer. Lord Jesus, you are our redeemer. As we come before you now, speak to us. The words we need to hear. The words you need us to hear. The message you would have us to receive. Open us up to receive your word now. Pour out your spirit upon us gathered here. Let our ears be anointed. Our eyes be open to what You would have us to see. And as we are gathered here, visit us with Your habitation. Inhabit our praises. And lift us up, Heavenly Father. And remind us that You have perfect timing, place, position, and posterity. Heavenly Father, prosper us now in the task that You would have us to do. I ask You this in the name of Jesus. That the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I suppose the history at this time when Isaiah wrote this might be something you'd want to know. And that is that Jerusalem had been taken captive. And the Israelites, both Judah and Israel, had been in captivity by the Babylonians. They had received double, according to this scripture, for what they had done wrong in leaving God. Or leaving God out. When their captivity was ending, what Isaiah said are the words that they needed to hear. That they were entering a season of comfort. Now, I share this with you because approximately 3.5 years ago, I'm not sure exactly the time frame, but this church began to go through a season of discomfort, struggle, and difficulty. And there was, if you will, disharmony in the household. For a time it seemed that things were not going to be too good. And each person involved in that experienced a little bit of discomfort. And maybe a lot. An uncertainty. And in time, God knew what He was going to do. When I first came here, that process was not over. You were learning yet who you were as a church, as a body of believers. And I walked through the door the first time, late on one Sunday evening. And if y'all know what I mean by late on one Sunday evening, you'll know what I mean by that. And as I walked through the door that time, I met a group of people who said, "Preacher, just spend time with us, speak to us, and love us, and preach the Word." And do you know, when I heard that, what I said to myself was, "You're hungry. You're hungry for a move of God." After the first couple messages that I spoke here, I told my dad, I said, "Dad, these folks are hungry. They want to hear. They listen. And they want to receive. They're ready to move forward from where they were to someplace else." And when he came down and spoke, he said, "You're right. They listen. They want to know what God has to say. They're ready for that Word to be spoken openly and honestly." And I said, "I know. It's like, almost like when I go and feed my rabbit now. I suppose this is something I shouldn't tell you, but I taught my rabbit a trick. He's a diamond star. If anybody knows anything about bunnies, he's black with white tips. And he's perfectly tipped to be a diamond star. And rabbits learn things by repetition, and they have a very, very short memory. So they have to learn it again almost constantly to continue to do that. You know, you can train a rabbit to live inside and use a litter box, but if he starts to wander too far from the litter box, he forgets where it is. So you have to remind him and put him close to it every night, or he'll forget. And then he's faithful. You can teach him to use the litter box, just like a cat. And he's very good at it. That, my rabbit, has not had the privilege to learn. He does not have indoor privileges. He stays in his hutch. But my rabbit thinks he's a dog. I go out to feed him and he's excited. He's hopping around, looking around. So I thought, well, I'll teach him a trick. I don't know if I should have taught him this trick. But he loves raisins. And I used to feed him. He'd take it out of my hand real soft. And I said, I wonder if you'd take it out of my mouth real soft. So I put a raisin in my mouth. Sticking out, of course. And he reached up and very gingerly took it. Now every time I stick my head in his hutch, he's trying to get something out of my mouth.
He didn't forget that.
It's food. He was excited. And what I'm trying to say is that when we begin to anticipate God working and as anticipating as He is for that raisin, I only give him two like that, and they're just sweet as can be that he does it. But his anticipation is, I'm hungry. I want something. And it says in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, filled. And that's what God was doing early on here. That He was sensing a hunger and He wanted to fill it. And it was like every time I came, the rabbit, it's like, we want to hear more. It was interesting because there was very few who said, preacher, you talk too long. And after a while, I didn't hear that anymore. Because folks wanted to hear it. And I'm thankful for that. And some folks like to hear it again. I have CDs. Which surprises me. But I'm okay with that. But what I'm trying to say is God knew what you needed. And He met the need. Specifically. Carefully. And you didn't know how. Doesn't Jeremiah say, I know the plans I have for you. You may not know what my thoughts are. But I know my plans for you to prosper and give you hope and a future. Yes, that's what Jeremiah says. And he says that to us to remind us that God is the author and finisher of our faith, not us. One thing I know about God is sometimes we fail. Sometimes we let God down, but He's still there to help us brush ourselves off and pick us back up. Not only that, but He wants to help us learn from the experience and grow. And so God says, no matter what you've been through, I'm teaching you that you can go through anything and you'll be stronger after. And I see that. I definitely see that. And it says that the voice, well, before that even, it says that you need to prepare the way of the Lord. That you need to get stuff out of the way so God can come in. Both personally and as a church. That the next move of God for you, you have to get ready for. How do you do that? Well, the voice cries out and says, cry. And he says, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. It all withers and fades. And here's what you cry out. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He comes with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That is what the voice is to cry out, that God comes to feed you. Will lead you and will not forsake you. And he'll gather the lambs with his arm, those who are not yet able to walk, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. Because he understands each person's need. He meets you where you are. It's not working. I want to share something with you that some of you know, but not all. When I came here, there was a place in me that said, I will never ever go back to full-time ministry. I was content doing the job I was doing and coming here to speak on a Sunday. That was fine with me. I liked it. About, what year is this? 8 years ago, I was going through a very rough divorce. In the United Methodist Church in Illinois, I did not get any support, so I was very angry. Very hurt. And I said, I'll never, ever allow that to happen again. Lost a lot of friends who are still in that conference, but we've lost touch. When I came to Columbus through a couple years of soul searching and preached, I was a full-time minister at that church, but I didn't really feel like things were going the right way. I knew God was in my life and working, but He was working on me. There were parts of me that needed worked on. Some things that were still needing healing. Some childhood memories and painful things, and still hadn't really healed up from the divorce. When he got that all healed up, he moved me to the position where I'm at. Or where I should say where I was at as a counselor. That position helped me to see how human personality and lives can change and how people's thinking and their behavior are all connected. A couple months after that, I came here. And I came here with the idea that, well, I'll help y'all out, but my job is alcohol and drugs. And so I began to speak a message of healing and love, and directly from the heart of God. Because you needed it. But what I didn't realize is at the same time, is I needed the same thing. And so, unbeknownst to me, when I started to love you, you loved me right back. This was a little scary for me, because I was thinking that I can't allow people to love me in the church. Because if I do, they're not going to support me. They're not going to believe in me. And that was my mentality. But you know what? Isaiah says if you wait on the Lord, that He'll renew you, that He will heal you, that He will bless you. You see, you cannot love someone without receiving something in return, even though you're not doing it for that purpose. God is trying to bless you to be a blessing. When you love, that love comes back. What Scripture says is what you give away will come back to you. What you pour out pours back upon you, and God is the one who brings the reward with Him in the measure which you've poured it out. Now get this, and this is what the Lord taught me a while ago. If I give half of all I got to the poor, like Zacchaeus, right? You know what God says He's going to do? He's not going to measure you dollar for dollar. He's going to measure you half for half. In other words, you're going to get half of everything God's got. He's got a lot more than you. And so He's going to bring His reward, which is the same pattern, not same amount, but same pattern with Him. And He's going to reward you like that. And so what we see in place then is that as you loved and I loved, that God poured out His love. And His love works miracles. Because He comes with it. I want you to know, God doesn't give love and peace and hope. He is love, peace, and hope, and you get God. You get God, and all that He is comes to you. Now, think of it this way. As we began to learn one another, it was pretty easy to learn some of us. Some of us is easier to pick on than others. That's how we learn one another, by picking on each other. But it was easy to do that because we were free. I cannot tell you how easy it is to do informal moments here because we have such a good time. Even folks pick on themselves. Sad thing is, some of it's true. Won't say anything about who that would be, but his initials are Bill. I mean, BB. But even he picks on himself. And it's wonderful because it's a joy. And God's people are happy people because they have His spirit of love inside. And that joy comes out of that. Now what I want to share with you is this. As time went by, it occurred to me in December that maybe God had a way where I wouldn't have to be an alcohol and drug counselor my whole life. And I thought maybe I'd be an author of a book. And that God would turn me into an author and plant me here. And I said, Lord, that would be really nice to do something for You all the time. That would be really nice. And it was a seed thought. It happened on a Sunday morning in this church, and Al said it. I don't even know you know you said it, but I remember what you said walking out of church on December 18th. You said, preacher, that's a little more than we can handle. You'll need to break that down a little bit so I can have it in smaller bites. I don't know if you remembered saying that, but I remember you saying that. And as I heard that, I said, you know, there's something to this. The promises of God that are conditional. And you know, God's promises are fulfilled, as we've looked at over and over again, when we love one another as He has loved us. If you've ever experienced the love of God, or His mercy, or His tenderness, then that's what you share with others. I cannot explain to you, or even tell you how. It just happened. But when that happened, and that began to open up, I got excited again. I began to see possibilities and vision of doing things for God all the time. You know what scared me? I imagine, if any of you are afraid of heights, that you wouldn't want to be a bird. Because you have to fly. If you're afraid of heights, could you imagine a bird
up in a tree, born, sticking its head out over the nest, going, I'm not leaving this nest. I'm never going to fly. It's too far down. But God has promised us that He's going to raise us up, even in spite of our fear of heights. I was at DeSoto National Park this week with my children, and we went to DeSoto Falls. Maybe y'all have been there. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. They drop 125 feet down into this round bowl of a canyon. And when you look at it, you're on one of the rims of the canyon with a rail there. And you look over, and you see down into that bowl, right into the water. And if you slip, you're going 125 feet down into that water. And I grabbed a hold of that rail, white knuckle, and I said, I feel like I'm going to die. Because I'm afraid of falling. I'm not afraid of being high. I'm afraid of falling down there. I can soar. I just don't know how to fall. And we need to learn that God catches us before we ever hit bottom. That He won't let us get that far. He'll never do that. He'll never let us get that far. That even if we fall, He catches us. And He says, if you'll lean on Me, I will raise you up. And when you soar and begin to fall, He says, I will raise you up on eagle's wings. I will teach you to walk, and you won't faint. I'll teach you to run and not be weary. All you have to do is wait on My timing. It is with some fear and trepidation and a lot of, I guess inner consternation is I'm going to do something starting next week that I told myself I'd never do again. And everybody around me says, well, you're supposed to do that. That's what you're supposed to do. You're good at that. You need to do that. And no matter what people tell me, inside of me it says, I just don't know. But then I read Isaiah 40. And God says, it's My time. You trust Me. It doesn't say, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. It doesn't say that. It says, I will raise you up. God will do the lifting on safe, secure, everlasting arms. Now I promise you that the same God who has brought you through 3.5 years ago and brought us together is the same God who will be here next Sunday. Who knows how to lift you up? Who knows how to catch you before you fall too far? Who knows how to bless you in all blessing? It is the love that you share that God has shown you how to do that has created that for you. You will have taught me how to be lifted up, how to be loved and embraced, and be willing to forge forward into something I said I'd never do again. You will give me that gift. That's something I cannot tell you how much that means to me. And it reminds me, if I ever think, well, what happens in the future if things don't work out? There's people who believe, who support, who love, who say, those fears are wrong. Those questions are unfounded. You all did that. And I believe in each one of you. You're very special to me. And I love you all very much. And I know that God is going to continue to lift you up and embrace you as needs done. I've been praying for you. And I'll continue to do that. That God would support you and establish you. And I want to hear good things. And I know I will. All I can say is thank you. Thank you for being who you are. And loving. Freely. You know, it's real tough to go somewhere else and expect even half this. Real tough to even expect half of it. So I'm not expecting anything but God to do His job. And I'll do whatever He says. And that's all we can hope for. And we on His time. And I pray that that's what you will do as well as we go forward from here. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today my heart is heavy. In my mind, I keep saying things are going to be like they're supposed to be. But right now, I just need your love and your spirit upon us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people, for Wesley Chapman, for the witness of your love. Heavenly Father, that love is transforming and life-changing. I am a witness, and I thank you for it. And I ask you to continue to mold and move and challenge and shape this congregation and each person in it to be living witnesses of your love. To embrace one another through trial, tribulation, in sun and in rain, through blessing, through difficulty. That you would continue to show them that you are with them by pouring out your Spirit upon them and blessing them and enriching their fellowship. That every time they gathered, your Spirit and your presence would be overwhelming. Heavenly Father, they have indeed received double for all their trouble. And now I'm asking you to give them the comfort and the restoration and to raise them up. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to shepherd them and allowing them to love me in return. Thank you that you have taught us together how important that is. And now may your promises be fulfilled in us. That we would know you, that you would love us, that your Spirit would be upon us, that you would do whatever we would ask of you in your name, that you would dwell with us, and Heavenly Father, that you would reveal yourself to us. We have come to know you here, Lord, and we've come to love you. Thank you. Now be with us when we gather for a meal. And bless our dining together, and bless our hearts. And may our lives be forever blessed for the time we've spent together here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This was open. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Again, you bless me more than I know how to bless you. Thank you.
In closing, I like myself. I'm going to go up and have Brother John's name, if that's all right with everybody.